Love, Lust, and Laughter with Dr. Diana Wiley and Billy Sage, Fridays at 6 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Aloha kakahiaka ina makamaka, or how's it everybody from Hawaii, from Seattle, from New York. This is Wiley and Sage, Love, Lust, and Laughter on PRN. And I'm the faithful sidekick, Bill Sage, holding down the far-flung hinterlands of Hawaii homeland area. Meanwhile, today, Dr. Patty Britton and Dr. Robert Dunlap are the guests. They train sex coaches from around the world from their website at www.sexcoachu.com. As board-certified leaders in the professional field of clinical sexology and as pioneering master sex coaches, Dr. Patty and Dr. Robert are founders of Sex Coach U. They teach about educational methodologies, evidence-based research about sexuality, leading-edge technologies, home-based learning opportunities, interactive and global student community support, and groundbreaking work that will really enlighten you. And if you want to say, coach, put me in the game, this is your chance to get in the game. And now let's go for our real coach. Hey, coach, I'm a little stiff. I don't know what that means, but I think you'll enlighten us, Dr. Diana Wiley.
With my guests, Dr. Patty Britton and Dr. Robert Dunlap, I hope to do that. I'm thrilled that Dr. Patty and Dr. Robert are on my show. They've been friends many years. And, in fact, we just all saw each other in Las Vegas the beginning of November at a conference. And in real life, Patty and Robert are life partners. Well, I hope it's life partners anyway. I think so, huh? And you're just adorable partners at that.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
And remember, what happens in Vegas stays all over the world, thanks to PRN.
And thanks to Sex Coach U, because of online technology that's virtual.
Yes.
And I love the comment about getting stiff.
Yeah.
Well,
how appropriate.
The original joke was actually, Coach, I'm a little stiff from football. I don't care where you're from. Get off the field till I tell you to come on.
Well, Robert, you could comment on that as a Trojan fan.
Oh, you bet.
That's right, Robert. You are a USC grad, aren't you?
No, actually, I went to the crosstown, and I'm a turncoat. I went to UCLA's film department.
Oh, the horror, the horror.
And maybe this is a good time to give the listening audience a little preview of next week, because Dr. Robert Dunlap will be my guest all by himself, although if we can possibly swing it, we'll get the subject matter for one of your films. Would you just tell the audience, we'll give a preview now and then again
sure.
At the end of the show.
I've been really having a wonderful time doing the life story of Zaviera Hollander, the happy hooker.
Two of them, actually, and train people in the field of clinical sexology, which is the overarching umbrella of what people do sexually and how they think and feel about it, and the impact of their sexuality on self and others and the environment. Because of that, I often am making these distinctions. And the founding father of coaching is a man named Thomas Leonard, who passed away at a very, very early age. I don't even think he had made it to age 50. And was this great visionary and pioneering and taking coaching out of, other than what we were laughing about in the beginning, you know, go for the goalpost and get off the football field or the ice skating rink. Coaching as a profession in terms of helping people realize who they are, helping people attain their greatest dreams and goals, is what coaching is really all about. It's be the best you can be. And Thomas Leonard founded CoachU.com, which inspired me to formulate this really new field, which is the marriage of sex therapy and the tried and true methods that we use and life coaching. So the what of sex coaching is really clinical sexology or understanding sexual behavior, but the how and how we work with our clients and now how we train others around the world is really using the methodologies, the philosophical tenets, the practical skills as a coach. And when we think about the distinction between coaching and therapy, I know it took me a long time to get to this, didn't it? There are two basic differences, and one of them is that therapy, which many people do need, and in fact, it's interesting, I was thinking about this yesterday, about 80 to 90% of all of my clients who seek me out for sex coaching already have been or are in psychotherapy, and
uh-huh.
The therapist does not feel comfortable or skilled, knowledgeable, or savvy enough to work with the sexuality components of that human being's life. And that's a sad statement about the sexuality aspect of a human being, because most psychologists, most social workers, most schools that train people as therapists either meet a minimum requirement of, let's say, 10 hours, that's all that's required in the state of California, in all of your master's or doctorate training. It's not very much time to learn all about human sexuality and work with your client. And, of course, we've spent thousands of hours in our own training before we even work with one single person as sexologists. And that's why going to a specialist is so important in today's world, and I know you talk about that with many of your guests on your fabulous show.
Thank you, Patty.
You
and
do.
You were on the show twice last summer, so
that's
this
right.
is your third time, and we're so glad to have you back.
I
think it's even worse in medical schools.
Oh,
doctors
yeah.
are not taught enough about human sexuality, so there
well,
is a lot.
And, you know, if we look at the statistics, I think there aren't very many. I mean, it's actually in the single-digit percentage of med schools that even teach sexuality to their residents. And
mm-hmm.
in the 1990s, I had the great fortune, I think it was the 1990s, of actually being on the faculty at Stanford Medical School. And I was a health educator, and part of what we did is we actually worked with the OBGYN residents, males and females, with our own bodies. And that was a very radical, and it's still there, by the way, it's still going.
Wow.
A radical form of education because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm the patient, but
mm-hmm.
I'm also the teacher. I'm the doctor teaching the doctor how to give a pelvic exam, how to approach the client, what kind of questions to ask her, how to be comfortable approaching her body and giving the pap exam or the pap test, those kinds of things. And what was astounding that I found at that time, and I know we're way off topic, but I'll just finish up by saying this, is that half of the women who were OBGYN residents had never had a pelvic exam or a pap test.
That is really surprising.
Yeah. So, you know, it helps us understand that it's so important to be a good consumer and do your shopping wisely and finding a competent medical professional. But let me scoot back for a second to the distinctions between coaching and therapy, because
yes.
I think it sets the tone for why we founded Sex Coach U and why this is so important as a contribution to the field globally. Therapy really looks at the past. And it looks at the emotions. The emotions are the focus of the work. Often you hear a therapist saying, well, how did that make you feel? Tell me more about that. Well, when did that feeling begin? Well, let's bring out that sadness and let's reenact or let's work it through. Coaches don't do that. And if they do, they should be fired. Because coaches aren't trained to process the emotional states of a client. That is the realm of therapy. And in sex therapy, which is actually a different animal from psychotherapy, I teach a lot about the evolution of sex therapy and how it began and where we are today. And sex therapy is as varied as the people who use it as professionals, but it's definitely much more of a behavioral or a mind-body behavioral assignment-based pattern for the client. And coaching uses a lot of behavioral training. It uses a lot of what I call psychoeducation. And you and I did a wonderful show on my model, which is the mind-body connection model called MEBS. And we talked about the five elements that affect us as sexual beings and how they can get out of whack,
yes.
so to speak, and not work. If there isn't flow, we don't have an optimal state in our sexuality. So coaching is really the new way. It's faster. It's much more interactive. We're a collaborator with our clients. We're not hierarchical. It's not like you look up and ask the therapist, what should I do? We don't give advice, and neither does a good therapist, but we elicit the best choices for our clients. So does that answer it for you in a good way?
In an excellent way. And one of the reasons I love having you on as a guest is that you are so clear, so articulate, and I think our listening audience can understand that.
Thank you. Why
don't you tell us about your online school, your university?
Diana, if I could just add one last...
Absolutely, Robert.
In that we're using the part of the thing about playing in the game and football, the type of coaching, just to take it from another step beyond that, is if a quarterback isn't completing passes... Quarterback's timing is off. What we do as a coach is we're giving them the correct mechanics to help that process along. So now we're helping the quarterback, instead of making a three or a four step drop, it's a quick one step drop and pass. You follow?
So I'm open, coach. I'm open.
So what is so hilarious about your interviewing Robert and me about our passion and our life path called sex coaching?
Yes.
Is that I have no idea what Robert just said.
Well, I don't either, but that's because I'm not
I'm open, coach. I'm open. Throw the ball. Throw the damn ball.
So you guys know what he's talking about, but I just the joke in our household is yo no hablo sports.
Exactly.
But they are sexy cheerleaders, Robert.
But
you have
they're
to admit.
Very sexy. They're very sexy.
Very
and
sexy.
We're the cheerleaders. That's really, in many ways, what a coach is. You know, we use terms like we hold the bar high. We really mean that. I expect more from my clients than I think sometimes they expect for themselves. So when I do that, I empower them. I give them hope. I give them a goal to attain that's beyond where they're stuck, where they think they're limited. I know they have infinite capability. And I love the whatever you said, Robert. I get the message. It's just hilarious that I have no idea what it meant specifically.
You know, a sidebar, Patty, I think you and I are very similar in that we are cheerleaders and we do expect our clients to get better and to be fully sexual and to just enjoy their sexuality. I remember for 11 years I co-led two women's sexuality groups with our colleague Maria Flaherty, and all of these women had had sexual trauma, and Maria and I had kind of fun playing. She was the bad mother and I was the good mother, but I was always the cheerleader.
Yes.
And when there's sexual trauma, that's really an important role to be positive and to move toward something that is healing and healthier.
Well, you're onto something really essential regarding sex coaching as opposed to therapy, and that is that the type of client that a coach of any kind really would be working with is not a mentally ill person. And
that
what
is
I mean,
important.
Okay.
Yeah.
The client has to ostensibly be coachable, so they can't be severely depressed. They can't be highly anxious and have such OCD that they can't function, for example. They can't be schizophrenic. They can't be bipolar and untreated or having a manic episode. And because I work in a psychology school, it's so wonderful. My students teach me so much about the human psyche and about, you know, the mental illness states of a person, and I teach them about wellness. I teach them about the celebratory parts. And when you really come into it from that cheerleader point of view, mm-hmm. unless somebody is severely, I would say, impaired mm-hmm. mentally or psychologically or emotionally, mm-hmm. there's a lot of growth potential, and that's what makes it so exciting and rewarding.
Absolutely. And so many of these folks, these clients, have never had positive role models in their life.
That's right.
And now they finally have some hope.
Yeah.
And some inspiration. And And that's very, if the therapist is modeling that, you can do it, you can do it.
Exactly.
I think it accelerates the whole process.
Well, and that's why coaching also goes outside the box of the clinical setting. You know, we resource our clients in various ways. Maybe we send them to a sex toy party to learn about lubes or about clitoral stimulators. Maybe we send them to a body worker for maybe tantric education. We send them to a workshop or we have them go to, I have a male who's a male virgin, older male in his late 40s, who has ED, erectile dysfunction. And he's terrified of women, and he is a heterosexual in his attraction. And part of what was happening in his life is that he hadn't been touched by anybody. So I recommended as part of my work with him that he hire someone to do therapeutic massage, not sexual massage, therapeutic massage, because his body needed to be touched by a human being to be able to feel open and alive and awake and to feel that vulnerability of human skin on human skin. Even hand on the back is something that can awaken an energy or an aspect of someone's sexual functioning.
Touch is so important. We take for granted that babies need plenty of cuddling and touching. And I think in the perfect world, adults would also get plenty of hugs and back rubs and arms around the shoulder and massages. But for some people, probably more than some, sex is the only way to get touching.
That's right.
And this is sad. It leads people to having sex when they don't want it.
That's
and
right.
Both partners end up feeling cheated.
Or shame.
And, or shame,
you know, when we're training our students, one of the issues that comes up a lot in our monthly calls, where we actually do a lecture called a tutor call, I go into a topic and I do advanced lecturing around an aspect of the work that we do. And often it's, what are some of the more difficult clients or issues that we as a sex coach have to intervene and help break down the wall about? And I'm sure you're going to agree, I think the biggest impediment for most people to experience their full potential as sexual beings and feel pleasure is toxic shame.
Oh,
shame
sure.
about what they've done, shame about what they haven't done, shame about their body image, shame about the rift in perhaps their family values and how they're living a life right now. I have a new client, a male. I have men, women, couples, et cetera, as a sex coach. I have a new male who is an out gay male in his late 40s, again, late 40s, who's had only two male partners in his life and really hasn't fully allowed himself to experience his sexuality because of his toxic shame.
And so it keeps him from surrendering into the moment.
Exactly.
And really being present because he probably, in the most severe cases, it's like PTSD. They flash back to some awful thing that happened.
But also what he does as a coping mechanism is he punishes himself and he's turned on by the idea of being punished. Not in a healthy way as a consenting player in an erotic power exchange, but rather as a man who is steeped in his own shame and shuts off his pleasure and his intimacy with others.
Of course. Of course. Now, do you see some overlap in BDSM play, healthy play versus some people that come out of really dysfunctional families where they were shamed and so then they like to be the slave,
sometimes,
the submissive.
Most of my clients tend to be your garden variety average sexless couple. Unfortunately, that's the norm of who really seeks us out. But as a sex coach, we're trained in clinical sexology so broadly and so in depth about really the infinite array of sexual expression that, of course, we get kinky clients who are players in the BDSM world or spirituality seekers on a path or people who come out of a subculture, we'll call it, and are looking at their gender, they're looking at their gender identity, their sexual orientation, they're wanting to be polyamorous, they're wanting to explore new adventures, maybe swinging, all of the dimensions that are humanly possible. in sexual expression usually show up in the sex coaching practice. And I'm not a big proponent of looking, as I said earlier, looking back at causal factors.
Exactly.
You know, I get people who are troubled by a fetish dependency, for example, mm-hmm. who often are referred again by a psychotherapist who's worked with them for many years and has no idea how to deal with the fetish and has worked on the family of origin and helped them with their sense of self and shame and guilt and fear and goal setting, and some of them are really wonderful and talented therapists, but they don't have an understanding of the sexual aspects of that person's life, whether it's the origin or the future expression of it. And I always say you don't get rid of parts of yourself. You have to learn to integrate embrace the aspects of yourself. So when someone brings a concern around a fetish to a sex coach, they're going to get somebody who's a proponent for how they can work with that, not against that. And it may stem from childhood. Usually the literature shows it does. Usually there's a bonding, as you know, a pair-bonded experience where an event occurs that maybe is even embarrassing or shame-producing or fear-producing or guilt-producing, but it's also exciting and often arousing. Like, you know, Auntie Betty comes in and she's wearing pantyhose and little Johnny Baby rubs against it and, you know, somehow we've got a stick in the room now. Mm-hmm. And he's smiling, but there's a pair-bonded experience, psychologically speaking, where now he, as an older person, without choosing it, is relying on that linked experience and has a pantyhose fetish online. Right?
Yes.
This is how it happens.
Sure. And so what you're talking about really is when you can't get rid of aspects of yourself, one of the things you can do then is to integrate some of that into a broader sexual repertoire, or you would work toward that. Because if somebody can only get turned on by pantyhose or by shoes or whatever, then that's going to limit their sexual response, or actually limit the available partners they might have, a partner who might want more than that.
Well, and also what I love about the world of sex coaching as opposed to psychotherapy or mental health ideation around it or even pathology around our aspects of who we are as sexual beings is that as a sex coach, I could actually go shopping with a client. I'm not relegated to the client setting. I could go to a store for someone who, I once had a client, I don't know why I'm talking only about guys today, but it just sort of, those are the cases that are coming into my mind, but I had a male adult who was worried he was a transsexual because he enjoyed wearing women's bras, and that's what turned him on. He also was someone who was shy, and he didn't have great social skills. And as a coach, I was able to actually teach him social skills and also validate his fetish behavior and help him to normalize it. The two magic words, normalization and validation.
Yes.
And, you know, and as I gave him permission, using the model that many of us are trained in, where we give permission as the foundation, mm-hmm. what happened is, his interest in the bras began to go away because mm-hmm. it didn't have the power anymore. Mm-hmm. He had owned it. He had brought it out into the light, literally and figuratively. And he was able to let the power it had over him subside. And within about 2 months of our working together weekly, he actually found the skills and the courage to start dating women, and he became a happy camper. So, you know, when we bring the darkness into the light, a nice success story,
Patty. That's beautiful. And normalize and validate. And I've seen that happen occasionally, even in the sex therapy that I do. The charge around cross dressing or whatever is no longer there. But it usually takes some time and some work.
Yeah, and it takes building trust, and, you know, the relationship in coaching is similar to the relationship in therapy. Mm-hmm. We bring our personhood, and that's why I love getting back to where we began. I love that we developed a university online where we're training people around the world, in this method, and part of that is training their personhood, because I think Carl Rogers it was who said that the therapeutic relationship is 51% personhood, and I would claim it to be over 80%, maybe sometimes even 90. You know, that who you are is what we as sex coaches bring to the process, not our personal sexual stories. I don't mean that. I mean how comfortable and how skilled and how experienced we are about the full expression of sexuality is what we bring to the table or the party or the sex toy convention that we may meet our client at or the BDSM dungeon we may take our client to. And that allows us to be, as we talk about in sex coaching training, to be the largest container possible for what it is that the client brings to us to heal and overcome and resolve.
Beautifully, beautifully stated. Honestly, this is such a complex area, but you make it more simple just by expressing it this way, although it's not simple.
And
certainly, I know you can say this because we've known each other maybe 25 years or something like that. Think back 25 years ago.
Which is amazing given that we're only 39.
I know. But just think back to 25 years ago. I know I am a much better therapist now than I was 25 years ago. That nothing beats the life experience, the clinical experience. Don't you agree?
Well, I love hearing you say that because one of the pet peeves that I have is the 22-year-old sex expert giving advice to the world.
I know.
How much life experience can a 22-year-old have, I ask you?
Well, I remember myself at 22. I was inept.
Yes. And, you know, the funny thing is, as I look back as a person, as a woman, the most sophisticated I thought I ever was when I was 19. And then I grew up and realized how little I knew. And you know, when I have clients who say to me, you changed my life. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't met you. Oh, my God, we don't know how to thank you for saving this marriage. Or you've given me the freedom to be myself. I never found that anywhere else. Those kinds of statements of feedback, just, you know, it makes our role so rewarding. And we're finding that the kinds of people who are looking for training in sex coaching are people who, in many ways, and Robert can talk more about this, very, very seasoned in their knowledge about sexuality. They're so varied in their depth of understanding. Many of them have gone through such an evolutionary journey of their own before they look for that validation through training. Many of them get validated through the training we offer rather than new information. They get to put it together in a way that's useful and usable with clients or with workshops. It's not all about private practice. And we're so impressed with the passion that people have to learn how to do this craft, this art, because it isn't easy.
It is an art, and we need to go to a break, and so Billy's going to take us out to the break. And then when we come back, let's have Dr. Robert up first to talk a little more about the content of your sex coach you. More specifically, we've been talking about it in part.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll go to the break, and when we come back, you're up, Dr. Robert. We'll talk about the content of sex you.
And right now, if you wish to make a note of this, the toll-free number to call in and ask questions of our wonderful guest is 888-874-4888. We'll be back after this from PR Aloha.
Cosa leggerai? Con che libro affascini il tuo cuore? E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore?
You are listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. I've been on radio for 37 years, every day, and I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one forum that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking.
This is Glenn Ford. Join me and co-host Nellie Bailey every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Black Agenda Radio, an hour of news, analysis, and commentary from a black left perspective. That's Black Agenda Radio on the Progressive Radio Network.
Let your imagination fly. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. Take a trip with me through the literary landscape of Writer's Voice. Join the tour and the conversation as we talk with writers of all genres about matters that move us and make us think. Right here on the Progressive Radio Network, every Saturday at noon.
Hi, this is Adam Kolker from the Brooklyn Jazz Underground. We're going to be hosting a weekly show every Tuesday at 5 p.m., focusing on sounds coming from the borough of Brooklyn. We'll be playing some new releases, doing live interviews, some live performances, maybe even venture out into music from some of the outer boroughs. Brooklyn Jazz Underground, Tuesday at 5, only on the Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border.
Hello, I'm Johnny Mueller, and I have a brand new show called The Expat Files, and it's all about living, working, playing, or retiring in Latin America. I know what it's like to buy land, build a house, start a business. I've been through it in a dozen Latin countries. So, if you're thinking about moving down, or you're just curious, be sure to listen in, Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Down Mexico way.
You're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, celebrating 5 years of independent points of view.
And we're back with Wiley and Sage, Love, Lust, and Laughter right here on the Progressive Radio Network. Our guests today, Dr. Patty Brixen and Dr. Robert Gottlieb, coaches of Sex Coach U, which is also at www.sexcoachu.com. And I had to say I was inspired. So if I can lead in, since you are sex coaches, I thought you guys need your own fight song, and here we go. Cheer, cheer for genital arts. Learn how to use them. That's when fun starts. Don't just worship that behind. Don't forget to start with the mind. It's the emotions there in the brain where you can find peace or go insane. Train it, use it, you won't lose it. Rah, rah for sex coach you. And with that, back to our other head coach, Dr. Diana Wiley.
You can see why I keep Billy on board.
Billy, you're hired.
Very creative. I think since this show will be archived by Monday, you should write down, Patty and Robert, you might want to write down the lyrics and give Billy Sage credit, because I think that's really great.
Oh, that is. That's terrific. Thank
you,
Billy.
I hope Pat O'Brien's not turning over in his celibate grave. Or
something. Hey, Diana.
Yeah?
We have a caller.
Oh, good. We didn't even announce that.
Yeah, I did.
That Dr. Patty giving away her novel?
Uh-huh. Oh, that announcement.
Her erotic novel. But anyway, yeah. Let's take the call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Her name is Tanya from Jersey City.
Okay, Tanya. Hello, hi. Tanya.
Hello.
Hello.
I first want to start. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I first want to start by just saying that this program is incredible. My ears perked up when I heard this. I've never heard anything like this on the radio before or in school. I'm 24. I went to film school, and that was thoroughly unsatisfying. But I do enjoy films, and I do enjoy films that explore sexuality in a narrative way. So I'm actually, it's not a question necessarily about your practice, But if you were to see films that could incorporate your style of coaching and that type of thing, I guess what would you want to see in films that do you think a film as a medium can help people, not porn, but film, you know, art can help people deal with their sexuality?
Actually, that is something that, because I film all of our tracks, or actually our presentations, that's what we send out to the students. And the students actually have a one-on-one type of fireside chat with Dr. Patty, who teaches you all of the different elements, both of the sexological side, but also the coaching side. Mm-hmm. So those are the programs that go out, along with the additional reading materials, suggested other films to see that are really relevant to that particular track or portion of the training.
Well, let me jump in and answer it in another way, because Robert is a very humble person, and part of what Robert has developed from a sexuality perspective as a clinical sexologist and sex educator is he's a really renowned documentary filmmaker, and he has made what's now a cult sex education documentary called Beyond Vanilla. And it's required that all of our students see it, because in order to work with someone, you really need to be sensitized. You need to get past your own judgments and your own issues. And, you know, if you're going to go, ew, that's gross, nobody's going to want to work with you around something that may be what's beautiful for them. So Beyond Vanilla was actually Robert's first sexuality-related documentary, and the new one, Xavier Hollander, is her life story, which is also about sexual expression and sexual freedom. And there's a lot of coaching material in it. But what we do, and this is something that I take great pride in as the person who's developed the whole curriculum for the entire school, is we use a lot of cinema in our teaching. And I teach sex in cinema as part of a constellation of courses at the psych school that I work in Los Angeles as an adjunct faculty. And it's one of the most popular courses, and we integrate that model into all of our curriculum materials, because looking at what are examples of either tremendously difficult sexual issues, like if you look at Precious, for example, one of the most difficult yet most powerful films ever made on sexuality issues, looking at that and understanding the suffering of this family and all of the sexual dynamics, what would you do if you were coaching her or her mother? Or looking at one of the Academy Award Oscar-nominated films, I mean, multiply, The King's Speech is actually the required film for our coaching course, because it just came out. It's coming out on DVD soon. I don't think it's out yet. But because we're able to, it's a virtual university, which allows us to change things. That's what's so cool about it. It's not a printed textbook. It's an electronic textbook. So we're now using that as a model for coaching, because the Jeffrey Rush character, who plays the speech therapist, who really is a counterculture guy who worked with the king, it's remarkable how he is a great coach. And so you're onto something, Tanya. It's a great question, because film, as I say to all my students, film evokes all of our senses and our emotions. When we're watching, we're not just reading words, we're feeling feelings. Mm. And we're in the story being shown. There's a peeling of time going on before our very eyes, which is different from what happens in a therapy session or even a coaching session, I'll say that, where someone is telling their story. In film, you're living their story.
Tanya, yeah, you know, being the first caller, we didn't announce that. If you like, you can email Dr. Patty and get her erotic novel, which is fabulous.
Oh, that'd be great.
And she'll send it to you. And
my pleasure.
Let me give you her, are you ready to write her email? It's Dr. Patty, so DrPattyXOX. So kiss, hug, kiss at AOL.com. So
drpattyxox@aol.com.
Okay.
And she will send you her erotic novel about her travels in France. And but I think it's based somewhat on real life story, Patty, right?
Well, the art lessons are.
The art lessons, yeah.
Okay. I'll never reveal whether it's autobiographical. You know that.
Tanya, while we have you, and thank you for the compliment that you've never heard anything quite like this on the radio. Did you get your film-related questions answered, or do you have another one while we have you?
I do have another question that, I mean, it ties very nicely, and I just wanted to know your feelings, I guess, on, I guess your feelings on pornography in general as to how do you use it in your coaching. I come from a generation that grew up with pornography. It's like commonplace. I mean, I put it on the TV and we laugh at it sometimes when it was healthy. But of course, I just wanted to know how, if you use it as a tool and if you think it's a healthy tool or a healthy outlet, because I don't really think it is. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's not. It's a quick jerk, you know, it's just a quick 1, 2, 3. It's not mind, body, and spirit by any means.
Well,
so I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Okay, so one of the issues that we as sex coaches have to deal with is people who are dependent on porn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where porn comes into the discussion and the training. What we don't actually recommend people look at porn. What we do make people, we require as part of the curriculum, is instead taking it on a different pathway, in a sense, and looking at explicit sexual expression. That's absolutely required, because if you're going to hear people's sexual stories, you have to be comfortable with how sex is done and expressed. That's not what porn is about. Porn is designed for arousal and usually for guys to get off, right? I mean, that's what porn's about. And now, since, you know, the advent of the home VCR and the DVD player and Blu-ray and downloading from the net, and, you know, you can take your universal clicker and go to Netflix or anywhere you want, Hulu, and you can be in your living room watching the Today Show, and then you can watch porn the same clicker. the cyber universe gives us everything instantaneously if we're wired for it. And porn is something that, again, as sex coaches, we have to be able to, quote, tolerate and understand, because our job is to be present for what our client is into. Our job is to, again, be that container or that space to reflect back to the client, is this helping you or hindering you, but not to judge it. And so the incidence of using porn is the issue that we deal with. It's not that we use porn in our teaching. And the reason is also that most of the sexuality in porn is inauthentic. It's actually lousy sex. And on the other hand, both Diana and I are proponents of positive sex education through explicit material such as the work of our dear friend Candida Royale. And many people would look at her work as female porn, but whether it's called porn or erotica doesn't really matter. It's explicit sexual expression.
But it also has a plot, and many women want to know, well, how come this couple is fucking? Well, because they're in a relationship. They actually like each other. And for most women, they like that.
Well, and also one of the elements of sex coaching that is essential is understanding about explicit couples enhancement or individual sex education materials that have what I call demonstrations. And actually, it's funny we should be mentioning this. Yesterday, I was on set for a 12-hour shoot of three couples in a new program that will be coming out at lovingsex.com, because that's the company that I'm the expert at.
Mm.
And I'm really a big proponent of real couples showing authentic, real sex and having great education along with that. And this is a workshop setting, this particular program, where I give an hour and a half lecture to real life couples, and then they go and they play and they practice, and the camera happens to be running while they do all that. So, you know, that kind of sexuality education material is essential in the training of a sex coach, and I would hope in the training of a sex therapist as well, or a counselor or an educator, because this is what also real people are buying. They're buying it on the net. They're buying it through catalogs. They're searching desperately for ways to spark desire again, to have a better orgasm or any orgasm at all, to get it up and keep it up, to learn how to connect, to learn how to feel love, to learn how to like each other. All of the aspects that Dr. Wiley and I and others talk about all the time on this show and elsewhere are just normal parts of what real people are looking for every single day. So I'm really glad you asked that question about porn, because it is a very controversial topic, and maybe a show that you could do at some point, Diana, on porn and erotica today.
I want to, and I also want to do a show on surrogates, because Patty put me in touch, well, not literally yet,
yes,
with a guy named Jack Lawrence, XX, I think it's 3X's.com, Jack Lawrence, is that right?
Yes, Jack Lawrence, XXX.com.
And he's a porn star, but he's also a sex educator and
yes.
a surrogate.
That's right.
And there's really room. I mean, Patty and I are maybe exceptional in this area, because there a lot of our colleagues don't really believe in sex surrogates, but it's so necessary. I mean, I have in my practice a man close to 60 who's still a virgin, and he very much needs a sex surrogate.
Exactly.
And like your client that you mentioned earlier, Patty, he hasn't been touched in his life at all.
Right.
And he doesn't have the social
right.
skills, and it's very sad.
Well, and, you know, interestingly enough that you mentioned the surrogate partner, which is really like a life partner substitute that also does the touching and can be body present for a client, unlike those of us who choose to work on the talk only means. This particular man I was talking about before, who was suffering from no human touch, I mean, he lives alone, he works alone, he doesn't even have a cat or a dog to touch, which is therapeutic, by the way.
I know.
You know, but he and I, finally, after we completed a lot of the journey of our work together in sex coaching, finally also then brought in a sexual surrogate. And now he is, for the first time in his life, and that's a big thing I just said, he's in his late 40s. For the first time in his life, he's actually experiencing his own natural erection response.
Oh, that's great.
To the touch, okay? This is a guy who was diagnosed with calcification of the erectile tissue of his penile structure and given injections so that he could experience an erection of any kind or quality, and it's happening on his own because he's allowing the trust to build with this woman and the touch to be forthcoming to help him open up his body.
It's
so
a miracle.
It's beautiful.
It's a miracle,
beautiful.
And he's
yeah.
got to be so grateful.
He is. He is. And he's only a third through the treatment process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
beautiful, isn't it?
It's It's a huge aspects of satisfaction for our work, don't you think, Patty?
When, yes, it is.
Yes,
so,
it is.
It's so rewarding.
Well, Tanya, thank you for calling in. Any last-minute thing you want to ask? And then if you don't have anything, we'll get back to Robert talking about the contents of Sex U.
No, I think I'll just let you. I mean, I have a million more questions, but
another time.
Yeah, call back, because have you listened to the show before? I gather you have.
No, actually, I haven't. I mean, I stream Progressive Radio Network, and I pick up the shows that, you know, on iTunes, and I pick up the shows. I listen to a lot to Gary Noel, and I've only been listening to the network for the past, like, month or so. But I will definitely tune in. Are you on at this time, usually?
Yeah.
Or?
It's 6. You're in the East Coast, right?
East Coast, yeah.
It's 6 p.m. Live, the only time you can actually call in, East Coast time, and we're calling in from California and Washington State, and so it's 3 p.m., and Billy Sage is 2 hours earlier. Is that right, Billy? I think so.
Dirty job, but somebody's got to live in Hawaii.
Yeah, really.
I guess my last question would just be if they're ever planning on lecturing out anywhere on the East Coast. And at Rutgers, I know there's, what's her name, Beverly Whipple, who's done a lot of work.
We know Beverly quite well.
She's a great friend of ours. That's right.
I saw her lecture. She blew me away.
You know, actually, we don't have plans specifically for lectures, but one of the hallmarks of why we're having this conversation today is because the world is leaving the in-person setting and moving to the virtual setting. That's what's happening with our clients. I have clients in other countries I talk to on Skype. I had a client in Indonesia a couple of weeks ago. We have a student in Singapore, a student in the Czech Republic, a student in Liverpool, in Belgium, and we're Skyping live with them. We're delivering these lectures via the Internet, just like I call myself the Princess Leia of sex coach training, because I show up like a little Star Wars hologram in your computer. It's like, hi, how are you? Good to hear you again. You know, that's how it is. And that's honestly, that's the direction of the world today. If you go to TED.com, or even, you know, you see the explosion on YouTube and all the other networks that are opening up on the Internet. The live lecture model is a dinosaur today. And that's what's so exciting about being able to deliver this kind of information and training interactively as well as live on. We have, you know, we have Skype calls around the world, tutor coaching calls that we just like blast them out. And it's going to get even more virtual.
Of course,
and less in person.
So we have to call Dr. Patty the cyber diva on sex.
You bet.
Don't you like Tanya, the Princess Leia?
Thank you for calling in. And
thank you.
You know, of course,
at the close
on Monday,
of the hour,
it's,
Diana, and just as a follow-up.
Yes.
As this was mentioned about the power of film and cinema.
Yes.
I must say in all pride that I've had so many women who would come up to me or ask the question or make the statement at some of the screenings that we had at film festivals, how the film changed their life. I literally had a 75-year-old woman. We were presenting the film together, Xavier and myself, in Marbella, Spain, who stood up and said, I'm 75 years old, and you just changed my life.
Did she say how, Robert?
Yes, she did. She said, by your authenticity and by the way you describe and embrace your sexuality gives me the freedom and the space for me to do the same.
Oh, that is powerful, yes.
Wow.
So
wonderful.
That's really the power also of film and cinema. And I think, you know, to be talking about Patty, the wonderful thing about these presentations that are so different than being in a classroom setting, we literally have these around a fireplace where she's describing and giving the coaching that really assists the person in a very, very easy and comfortable way that you don't have in the classroom with 90 people, you know, fidgeting around, checking their iPhone or whatever it is. It's an entirely different and very rewarding experience for the student.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of positive feedback from all of our students. They love it. They love the model. They just, you know, they're soaring. And we also, we're planning something, and, you know, we'll make this last-minute pitch. We haven't solidified it, but we're planning a June training in Amsterdam at the B&B of Xavier Hollander.
Oh,
and
that is so cool. Boy.
It's going to be a professional training, but someone who is a seasoned consumer who is interested in learning more about sexuality could also come with a tour of the sexual underground of Amsterdam and earning professional credits. So
I mean, how can you beat that travel package?
You can't.
I do remember the World Congress for Sexology in 1991 in Amsterdam, and of course, a bunch of us, sex therapists, sex educators, went to the live sex shows, and
we
walked along the red light district with the prostitutes in the windows, and even got a training by a former prostitute who women only, and she now runs the government part to keep the prostitutes safe. And
beautiful.
And it was a wonderful course called How to Bring Out the Prostitute Within.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So Amsterdam is a one sexy city. So yes. I think that's wonderful that you're doing this.
Thank you. Where would I hear about that if you're going to do it?
Yeah,
yes. Well, it'll be on my website at drpattybritton.com. That's where I post on my homepage
Would you spell that all out for our listeners, please?
Sure. It's my name, so it's Dr. Patty Britton, PattiBritton.com. And the homepage is kind of a news page of things that are happening. We'll have this radio show up as of Monday in the archives. And we'll be posting very soon the professional training in Amsterdam. We're not sure what we're calling it, but we think we're calling it the world's sexiest SAR, which is a requirement for anyone who's a professional in the field of sexology to go through this amazing kind of a training called a SAR, which addresses your values, attitudes, and beliefs. So that's on the docket.
I think it's brilliant, and it could be very educational and so much fun.
A lot of fun.
Yes. So again, I want Billy to remind the listeners about your website so that they can learn about it and maybe sign up. I mean, you have steps for people to get information and become a student.
And a sample course that people can actually take for very little investment.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And all they have to do is go to sexcoachu.com, sexcoachu.com. That's a good place to find it. And don't forget what's coming up next week, Dr. Wiley.
Yes, next week we will be talking to Robert Dunlap, Dr. Robert, about his film on Zavera Hollander, The Happy Hooker. And Robert will get more chance to talk next week.
And maybe we talk a little bit about Beyond Vanilla, too.
Absolutely. We'll talk about Beyond Vanilla, which I saw. Well, I've seen both your films. I've seen Zavera Hollander maybe three times, and each time you've it's been a different is the word iteration? Or
Yes.
Good.
It's edited.
Edited, okay.
Well, her life keeps changing. He has to keep changing the ending.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's so true. What a character she is. Honestly.
She is something else.
And I've had a chance to talk to her at some of the screenings, and I remember reading her book in the 70s, the early 70s, and
yes.
Thinking, this is amazing. And getting turned on by it. I was so young then, but getting turned on by it and thinking, wow. So now we can see her whole life story on your film, and we'll talk more about that next week.
And you'll get turned on again.
Oh, I'm sure. Thank you, Patty and Robert, for being our guests today. And thank you, Tanya, for calling in. She'll get Patty's erotic novel. And, Billy, you can take us out. Thanks for that great song that you came up with.
Mahalo,
thanks,
indeed.
Thanks, everybody.
Don't forget, if you're a little stiff from football, there's other ways to stay stiff. And coming back next week to Wiley and Sage, love, lust, and laughter is a wonderful way to do it. Till next week, Billy Sage in Honolulu, Dr. Diana in Seattle, and our guests everywhere all around the world, a ho no nipple nipple. Stay juicy. Till next week, aloha.
Se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore.